Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. These are God's words. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you all will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. My dear children, one of the motivations that God gives you in his word for following him and knowing him, trusting him, learning his word, living according to his word, is that children who are wise, who do not say in their heart that there is no God, but make that beginning in wisdom, which is to fear the Lord, and then continue walking with him according to his word, that they gladden their mother and their father, and they bring honor to their mother and their father. And so in the book of Proverbs, which especially aims at children along with Ecclesiastes, but especially in the book of Proverbs, which aims at children, often gladdening or bringing honor to your parents is one of the things that God says you should desire and should be a motivator for you as you live your life. Well, there's a similar motivation with your pastor, with your elders. Hebrews 13, verse 17, talks about those who watch your soul as those who must give account. And it says that you should let them do that with joy and not with grief, that there is a love for those whom the Lord has given to shepherd us, to teach us and lead us in following his word, that ought to desire that they would be glad and that they would get honor as those through whom the Lord has done so much work in our lives. Well, the Apostle Paul knows that this is something that the Philippians desire, that he would be glad and that he would receive honor. And so he comes and he tells them that, yet he redirects the gladness and the honor, especially to Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Now, it's quite possible that Paul had a list of all the churches that he had planted and spent time as their pastor, not just as an apostle, but ministering and shepherding among them, and that he would go over in his mind, as he had his set times of prayer, all the members that he knew of all of those churches, praying for them individually. And yet, even though he would be thankful to God for his work in them, it might not be with the same measure of thankfulness. The way he's talking here abounds and overflows. Certainly, there were situations in Philippi that needed to be addressed. Euodia and Syntyche needed help agreeing with one another, which we'll hear about later in the letter. But it was not like Corinth or Galatia. So he thanks his God and he makes his requests with joy. Some requests you make with grief. You guys know this, that there is an agonizing in prayer before God. Even our Lord Jesus, we hear on occasion, making request of God that comes more with agony than with joy. But we ought to desire that those who are praying for us, that we would conduct ourselves in such a way that even when they're coming and making requests for us, because we still are not what we ought to be, and we're not at the point where we ought to be yet, the request would be made with joy. Now, why are these requests being made with joy? Well, because of their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He tells us later that the church in Philippi is the only one that has been consistent in the ministry of giving and receiving with him. So it's not just that they believed the gospel when he preached it to them, and that they rejoiced in the gospel as he taught them the implications of who Christ is and what Christ has done in his life and what Christ is doing in their lives. And all of these things about who Christ is and what Christ has done and what Christ is doing are all good news. Good news about Jesus and what he is doing. In Philippi, there had been Lydia who had heard and received them, and there had been the jailer and the other prisoners who were in prison with Paul and Silas. And there were many who had received and responded to the gospel in this way. So they had this fellowship in the gospel. And their fellowship in knowing who Christ is and what Christ has done and what Christ had done not only in his own life, but specifically in their lives, was overflowing in a desire to see other people hear who Christ is and what he has done, to see other people experiencing Christ working in their lives. And since they couldn't, you know, they lived in Philippi, they can't go everywhere that the Apostle Paul goes, but they can help the Apostle Paul get there, and they can help the Apostle Paul minister there by taking care of and attending to some of his financial needs, which we too ought to desire to do with our minister. We can't go on every visit with our minister. We can't go everywhere that he goes and evangelizes. You guys get to go more than most of the rest of the congregation. But you guys can help me. We can have fellowship in this ministry of the gospel by you getting your school done and doing your chores and being cheerful, maintaining peace in the household, keeping short accounts with God, walking with him faithfully, keeping short accounts with one another, not letting conflict build up amongst yourselves. If God, by his grace, strengthens our home in this way, it is a great aid to me. And you will be helping others find out who Jesus is, what he has done in his life. And we can look forward to him working in their lives. And then we can do so also by giving in the church, by supporting ministries in which the gospel is faithfully spread and proclaimed, and so forth. But his joy was not just in the fact that their fellowship in the gospel enabled him to minister the gospel. It also came out of his love for them. Now, next week when we get to verses 7 through 11, we're going to hear a lot more about his love for them. But because he loves them, their fellowship in the gospel makes him glad, because he says, aha, they believe in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus is working in their lives, and they even love him and want others to hear about him. This all can only have come about if God has begun a work in them. And so he goes from this fellowship in the gospel in verse 5 to recognizing how this fellowship of the in the gospel came about, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Very possibly there are believers in the church in Philippi who do love the Lord Jesus and do love the spread of the gospel, but are very troubled by that they don't love the Lord Jesus to the extent that they ought to. Very troubled by how worldly their own hearts and minds and actions often seem, not caring so much about the spread of the gospel as they know that they ought to, and that as they wish that they did care. And so here he comes and he says, it's not just the fact that you do, but it's the fact that you do is evidence of Christ having begun a work. And we know that what Jesus finishes, Jesus starts, or Jesus, what Jesus starts, I forgot how the sentence finishes. What Jesus starts, Jesus finishes. And so here we have this fellowship in the gospel that means that on the day of Jesus Christ, which is the day that Paul thinks about the most, when he will be sinless and stand before the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus will have returned in glory, when all of the Lord's elect will have been brought to faith in him, when all of the Lord's elect will have been perfected and shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he says, the fact that you have fellowship in the gospel with me now means that when we stand there on that day, the work will have been complete. And I can't wait till all of your sorrow is gone, till all of your tears are gone, till all of your pain is gone, especially till all of your sin is gone. And I get to see you glorious. And the work that Jesus has begun in you, Jesus will have finished in you. Yes, he sent me. Yes, you love to bring gladness to me as one through whom he worked in you. But ultimately, it's he who's working in you. And he will be glorified. And you will be glorified. And he will be glorified in you having been glorified. And so there's this aiming at the day of Christ, not just in Paul's ministry, but even in his love to the people of this congregation that he is writing to here. And that helps us when we are struggling with how incomplete thus far our sanctification is. The fact that it exists at all is testimony to the fact that it shall be complete one day. And we too ought to aim at the day of Christ like this. So make me glad, make your mom glad. Pray for our sanctification, that we too would aim at the day of Christ, so that our gladness and the work that Christ had begun would be increased in accordance with such faith and such focus. But you also focus on the day of Christ so that you may have gladness in the work that he has begun in those whom you love and even in yourself. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, that even our believing the gospel is the result of you having begun a work in us. We praise you that you finish what you started. We look forward to you coming into the fullness of that which you have deserved and receiving that. And we thank you that one of the things that you have deserved is that we might at last be perfected. Help us, O Lord, to love your gospel and to love the spread of it and to love others being brought into fellowship with us in believing and spreading the gospel. We pray that you would fill us with thankfulness and joy over what you have done in ourselves, in others, and that you would keep us faithful in prayer. Lord, help us to live in such a way that those who make requests for us are able to do so with joy because of the evidence that they have seen of a work begun by Christ, in whose name and for whose glory we ask it. Amen. Amen.